But there's people who are going like, I don't understand. You're talking to a strength and conditioning coach on a wild. I thought this podcast was all about wonder and curiosity and magic. What does all this stuff that we're talking about right now have to do with us living a life that is awake to possibility?
Man, this is some deep questions here. I think it just draws me back to your point about a healthy level of stress is required for a healthy level of growth in small doses. And what I do is stress my clients' bodies out in a healthy way where they get the benefits of them. And then you can apply that to everything in life. Kind of like my arm was a stressful situation, but I grew from that and I built what I did with that initial motivation in mind. Same thing with all my other injuries. I saw that as an opportunity for growth rather than like a reason to shut down.
Hello, friends. I'm Harris III. Welcome to another episode of the Wow Level Life podcast. We are trying to awaken your wonder, that childlike spirit that allows your imagination to run wild, where anything is possible, where curiosity is driving your approach to life. Your eyes are wide open to all the magic that is around you. Your creative soul is set on fire. You're excited to play, to get your hands dirty in the mud. Life gets exciting when you're pursuing a wild level life. But to pursue a wild level life, there are multiple subjects that we need to explore. And I think today is going to venture into even deeper into one of those subjects. If you listen to last week's episode, I won't ruin the surprise for you because we try to do a fun thing with a story. But you got to begin the conversation of the role that stress and adversity plays in helping us develop our strength. I asked you some questions to try to get you curious around that theme and topic so we could explore it further with today's special guest. In just a few moments, I'm going to be joined by Curtis Rigg. He is my personal trainer. I think he has a fancier name than that, but my wife, Kate, and I love doing workouts with him on a regular basis, and he's taught me a lot about kind of what's going on inside of our minds and in our bodies during a workout in his gym. Curtis really encapsulates a journey of resilience and determination. He's got an incredible story. A lot of it begins with a childhood accident that you'll hear about as we jump into his story in this episode, and how that experience led him to overcome and then eventually get into strength training. And so then he went on to have multiple injuries and challenges, but still fought for and held on to a passion for adaptability and resilience of the human body and how he can help other people do the same. So as a personal trainer and strength and conditioning coach right here in Nashville, Curtis is dedicated, absolutely dedicated to helping other people overcome limitations, helping individuals realize their true potential, drawing from their own experience of overcoming injuries and pursuing their passion. His journey includes a transition from Pennsylvania down here to Tennessee, and he successfully built and grown his second gym, Innate Performance, here in Nashville. He works with entrepreneurs like us, but also doctors and artists and a ton of professional athletes. Every single time I am in his gym, it feels like there's another professional athlete, basketball player, soccer player rolling in. He's known around town and just overall a genuine pro at what he does and a genuinely good dude. So listen in. You're going to like this episode, my conversation with Curtis Rigg. Curtis, I'm so excited to introduce friends to you. You have played a significant role in my life. And so I'm sure when I first asked you to jump on this podcast, there's a part of like, what do I do for a living that has anything to do with wonder?
And yeah.
And we're going to tie that together by the end of this conversation. So one, I'm pumped that you're willing to join me. This is really exciting for me because I've taken so much that I've learned from you in our time of knowing each other and used it in so many different examples and keynotes and metaphors. I use it in coaching all the time. And so I just think what you do for a living and what you do in the lives of people is so universal that it's easy for it to find its application outside of the gym. And so even though you, oh, actually, let's let you introduce kind of how you talk about what you do instead of me introducing it to everyone, even though they just heard me build you up and make you a big deal in the intro.
Yeah, that was a pretty great intro, man. I don't know if I can beat that.
What is the, would you say it's, I'm in personal fitness, I'm in peak performance. How do you frame up the work that you're doing?
On paper, I'm a strength and conditioning coach, right? Like Okay. You made it sound so much better than what I could do. Yeah. Or so much more interesting, I should say. But yeah, I mean, personal trainer, strength and conditioning coach, everyone's friend.
Yes. Well, and you're a good one. All right. So we're going to get there. We're going to get to those metaphors. We're going to connect those dots for everyone listening in, because there's so many universal truths to pull out of this conversation. But I want to start with your story, because this is the Wild Level Life podcast. And I feel like you are both in pursuit of and already simultaneously living a wild level life, which is this strange dichotomy, right? Because I think that's all of us. If I walk up to the average person and I'm like, hey, would you feel like you're living a wild level life? There's always this gap between where we are and where we wish we were. And so you're not alone in that feeling. I have that feeling of like, well, no, I'm not there yet. None of us really feel like we've arrived. And yet you're still living an extraordinary life. We talk about that on a regular basis in the gym. It's like, dude, you're living the dream. It's amazing what you've built and the impact that you're having on athletes at literally the very top level, like some of the world's elite athletes, to the non-elite athletes in the world like me. It's like, what is a guy who made most of his living doing magic tricks on stage? Why is he in the gym every day? And it's because I came to you going, I want to sleep better. I want more energy with my kids. And even though I came to you going, I want to learn like how to get in better personal shape for a variety of reasons, there's some deeper truths that came out of that. But we're going to get to all that. I want to start with your story. In the world, what led you to want to become a strength and conditioning coach, in your words? Let's start at the beginning.
When I was 7 years old, I had a tragic accident where I was playing with the neighbor kids. We were playing around in a treehouse. It was a little rainy, kind of slippery. I'm still adventurous, but I was way more adventurous back then. I was hanging off the edge of this treehouse. Long story short, I slipped off. I fell, landed on my arm in a way that it hyperextended. It bent the way the elbow shouldn't bend. The humerus, the bone in our arm came completely out, broke through the artery. My arm was hanging on by like maybe a couple millimeters of skin. The doctors didn't think they could save my arm. So I went through a lot of surgery. They were struggling with that. And they basically said, hey, we have to amputate it. You know, if we save his arm, and this was all to my parents, obviously, this is just kind of information reiterated back to me. If we save his arm, you know, he's never going to really have a functioning limb again. He's not going to be able to use it. He's going to relearn how to do everything in life, essentially, right? Which, you know, as a 7-year-old kid, you hear that, you're traumatized. You know, I still remember all of this like it was yesterday.
It's like your parents, like, paint that picture for us, though. Like, you're laying in a hospital bed in pain, and they come in and they explain this to you, or they just tell you what's about to happen.
This was just kind of information that was kind of spit back after, because, you know, I was knocked out. You know, I don't really remember too many fine details in the hospital. I don't remember exactly how long I was in the hospital for. But anyways, they ended up saving the arm. And I remember talking to this one doctor about how like my sex life would be altered. Like my psychology would be different. I would be like, you know, different, right? Like, so that was my initial kind of spark, I guess I could say. Just when you hear the doctor say you can't do something, that kind of lights a little fire in me a little bit. So I went through months of physical therapy. You know, I couldn't even stack cups together at the time. I had no range of motion in my arm. But eventually that led me to, you know, getting my limb stronger, moving my arm a little bit better, which kind of opened my eyes to like, wow, like, that's amazing. Like, my physical therapists at that time were like my heroes, right? Like, because we overcame this, what seemed like what was impossible to me, you know. A couple years later, I've had 3 knee surgeries. My ankle was flipped upside down. It's completely made of metal plates and screws. And I've overcome all of those things even better than I was prior to surgery. So I kind of wanted to go to the physical therapy route going through all of this. These injuries, I've been through it. I can relate to people on that level that are going through pain and, like, you know, be a little bit more encouraging. Like, hey, like, I've been here before. So I wanted to go PT route. Long story short, went to college. I don't enjoy learning about things that I don't really care about. And if you, for anyone that, it's just the truth. It's just the truth. Like, for anyone that goes to physical therapy school, at least in my experience, I had to take a lot of chemistry, a lot of like microbiology and looking under microscopes. And then the thing that really steered me away from PT school, was the GREs, the like standardized tests that you have to take. You got to like add letters and, you know, algebra and like, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I was during that time, I was working as an exercise physiologist in Philadelphia. I was like a mentor to the physical therapy students that were enrolled in the schools all around. They couldn't really, you know, name me one muscle of the rotator cuff. I'm like, here I am to like get into PT school. I had to like do algebra. And I'm like, no, this just, this is backwards. So, at that moment in time, I was like, okay, well, I'm 25. I need to figure something else out because, you know, I'm always looking for a little bit more movement forward. So I gave my 2-week notice without a plan and just kind of started my own business and then got the snowball rolling. And here we are in Nashville.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So it's been fun. It's been a crazy ride, but yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, I want to go back into that story for a second because it sounds like, oh, well, yeah, duh, of course you overcame this thing and you kept defying odds and why not just go teach other people to defy odds? And yeah, it didn't feel that obvious to you in the moment, I'm sure. I bet there were doubts.
There were
uncertainties.
Yeah, yeah.
Like what can you say about or speak to about feelings you had as a kid when someone's telling you, hey, you won't be able to use your arm again? Did you just like, oh, I'm just going to prove them wrong?
It's hard to say at the time. I mean, looking back, I mean, it's easy to say, yeah, probably. Just because like, I kind of look at it like, you know, knowing what I know now, and maybe I didn't realize it at the time, but like adversity was the fire that forges the iron, right? Like that's how I'm here. It seemed very stressful at the time, but I think if you just keep putting one foot in front of the other and, you know, believing in yourself over what other people have their opinions on the situation, I think, you know, that can take you a lot further than what you realize. And it's hard. It's definitely hard because of all the noise around you. But yeah, I mean, it's been awesome.
So what was your source of, I guess, hope is the first word that comes to mind. The thing that kept your curiosity enough, alive enough to go, you know, I'm going to question the story I'm being told. I don't know if they're right about this. Maybe I can't actually use it. Was it your parents? Was it watching superhero movies on TV? Like what gave you hope to go, I can prove them wrong?
It was definitely my parents probably at first, but I do remember the therapist that I was working with when I was 7 was so positive and encouraging. And like, she didn't have a doubt in her head that I couldn't get better and you keep moving forward. And now granted, like my arm's not perfect, but I'm sure if I never told you that I went through this, you probably wouldn't have even noticed, right?
Like, no.
Yeah. So I think having that positivity around me, and during all this time, I was in second grade. My second grade teacher would visit the house. She had all my classmates like write me letters and like, just like positive notes. And I think I still have those letters today, actually. They're somewhere hidden in here. Yeah. But it's been great. Yeah. It's just that kind of like reshaped my mindset a little bit. Like, okay, like, you know, not only am I doing this for myself, but I also have a support system, you know. I don't know where I would be if I didn't have that. Maybe I would have just gave up, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a client I was once working with a few years ago, and she overheard the doctor come into the room to give the diagnosis of what she was struggling with. And the doctor basically, she overheard the doctor saying, everything she does for the rest of her life is going to be incredibly hard and she will struggle.
Yeah.
And then in a way, what we realized through our conversations is that sort of became this confirmation bias. And now everything, even if it wasn't that hard, she found a way to make it feel like it was hard or justify like, oh, well, I'm struggling because the doctor was right when I was in the third grade. They said everything was going to be hard. And what it sounds like is you had this really beautiful alternative story told to you, or at least offered to you, that was up for consideration, where even though the doctor said, here's all the things that aren't ever going to work again, you had a couple of other voices that told you a different story and said, hey, maybe they could be wrong. There's hope.
Yeah.
Work hard. Try harder. push through.
Yeah, like my dad literally told the surgeons, like, hey, take what you need from me to save his arm. They didn't have to do anything like that, but it's nice. It's nice to hear that stuff.
That's incredible. Yeah, I think it's a reminder for all of us out there listening, especially me, to think about, like, the people that I know who are struggling in my life. Oftentimes we don't feel like there's anything tangible that we can do mm-hmm. to play a role. Like, I can't go fix someone's arm. Like, if you were my friend in the second grade, if we had the privilege of growing up in the same neighborhood and going to school together. And so it's like, imagine we're the same age, we're in the same class. I'm like, well, I'd be willing to give Curtis my arm, but I can't, right? Like, the doctor said that's
an option. Yeah.
It's like, well, I guess there's nothing I can do. And let's just name it. So what it is, there's nothing I can do. It's that mentality that limits the potential role that we have the opportunity to play in the lives of others. Cause it was that teacher and those notes from our friends that may not have felt like much in terms of saving your physical arm, but it gave you the story that you needed to know that you had options on the table, that you didn't just have to accept the reality that was handed to you by the doctors. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. 100%.
That's so cool. It's such a powerful reminder. And just the power of our words. Words, they're almost like magic. We're all looking for magic words like presto and abracadabra. I don't know if any of the notes you got from your friends said those magic words on them, but in the absence of Alakazam was probably words that were truly magical to you, that made you defy the odds.
Yeah, they were just very like supportive little letters with a bunch of like second grader drawings on them. They were fun. Yeah. But they meant a lot, you know, like you said, it's magic.
Yeah. It's a good reminder to us to not underestimate the power of our words. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're healing up, and then all of a sudden you become intrigued by the idea of becoming a physical therapist, and you're just like, ah, that's not for me. And yet you were mentoring other people who were physical therapists. And one of the things that I think that part of your story just sort of showcases, which aligns with my experience with you, is this, I don't know that I've ever used this word in a conversation, contrarian. Sort of like a contrarian way of operating within a certain industry. I don't want to get you in trouble, but like, I have friends that I've sent to your gym, and you've told them the opposite of what their doctor told them to do, and they got better faster.
This sounds so bad.
I know. It sounds bad.
I just have to say, you know, I am not a physical therapist, guys. Here's what I would do.
Yeah.
And I hope I don't come across that like I'm bashing the physical therapy industry. You know, I have a lot of great physical therapy friends. Sure. It's just, it wasn't the road that I wanted to go down, you know, and not to mention I wasn't smart enough to get into school. So
Totally. But I'll just say it for you, and you can agree or disagree or just say no comment and mm-hmm. like stay out of trouble, right? But there are almost every single industry on the planet has some form of outdated methodologies or way of doing things. Mm-hmm. And we're doing things a certain way in certain industries just because that's the way they've always been done, or that's the most common advice. Or mm-hmm. what is probably more accurate in that example I was talking about with our friend's, you know, foot being in a boot, is there's the right advice for the majority of people, maybe, because of how the majority of people behave. And so therefore, what is very common in medical professions is, let's just go with kind of the status quo expectation of how we know patients mm-hmm. are going to behave, or what they're willing to do or not willing to do. And so it's easy to throw a doctor under the bus going, oh, you're just in bed with pharmaceutical companies and you're just prescribing this drug. You're treating the symptoms. Why don't we actually treat the root problem? It's like, okay, it's easy to give doctors flack about that, but is the average patient willing to do the work?
Right. You're 100% right on that. Yeah.
And if the doctor knows, well, the average patient is not going to stop going through the McDonald's drive-thru every single day, well, then that doctor's best chance of helping that patient is probably to describe that drug, right? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't necessarily mean that advice is bad, but it also doesn't deny that more contrarian approach of maybe there's a better way for some people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I've seen you do time in and time out. And so I want to talk a little bit about that, because I think the story that you just told us, the story that you've lived, and the work that you're doing are obviously intertwined, as they are for all of us. But I have a feeling there's people listening in who haven't been able to connect those dots in their own work, in their own view. So let's unpack that a little bit. You were told, I'll never be able to use my arm again. And yet you did. You didn't want to go to physical therapy school. And yet, even though you're not a physical therapist, you are helping people accomplish things that some physical therapists haven't been able to help them do. you are consistently defying the odds in the lives of your clients that you're working with and in your own personal life. Do you have a realization? I'm putting you on the spot here big time.
I love this. It's okay.
Have you ever had the realization of connecting those dots and seeing the connection between the story you've lived and the way in which you do your work?
Not until I met you, right? Like, because we've talked about this before, I didn't really appreciate the impact of storytelling in general. And then, you know, after a couple of conversations with you and Kate and your team, you know, it got me to kind of like open my eyes a little bit, like, okay, like this kind of makes sense. Now, granted, I, like I said before, I did know like that initial injury when I was 7 did kind of ignite my initial passion for the field itself. Is that what you mean by kind of connecting the dots?
Yeah, not just a connection to the field, but being aware that you do things differently. And maybe perhaps part of the reason you do things differently from so many other people in your field is because you had to do things differently to prove the professionals. Mm-hmm. You say professionals with people who mm-hmm. who are listening instead of watching right now, you know, with quotation marks around it, the professionals. You had to literally take what the professionals said and do something different.
It's not that it's different, right? Like, you got me thinking now, man.
Can we just use a real life example? I referred one of my best friends to you.
Yeah.
Part of the reason I referred is because I was like, hey, man, I was struggling with an injury. He was struggling with this injury. Mm-hmm. And everything that you were having both of us do was counterintuitive to all the advice that people with those injuries typically receive. And at first, they're like, is this dude crazy? Why is he telling us the opposite of what common sense would say? And yet what we discovered is that common sense that exists in our culture is just like, oh, that's just the way we've always done it. And so one of those examples is like, get that boot off your foot instead of walking around a boot and waiting for this to heal in 3 months or 6 months or whatever. Let's get it done in 6 weeks.
That was after we knew, you know, there wasn't too bad of a sprain or a break, or and the imaging was clear. And he was able to put pressure and apply, you know, force to the ground on that foot. But yeah, so I think in that situation that you're describing, like you said, it's easier to just say, hey, put this boot on for 6 weeks. And insurance, you know, if you're an insurance-based practitioner, they have to follow certain protocols. They're only, you know, allowed to do certain things, whereas I don't bill through insurance, so I can do whatever I want. After you sign the waiver, of course. So yeah, I do take a more like holistic, you know, more direct route, I guess I should say.
Yes.
As far as under, you know, certain circumstances, like had he had a more serious injury, I might have not went that way, but he was okay.
Yeah. So it's not a disregard for responsibility and wisdom, like mm-hmm. you're not being reckless. But some of this, I think, is informed by your experience working with elite athletes.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, the stuff that I see happen sometimes on TV to professional athletes, and they're like carried off the field, and the fact that they're coming back and playing again in the third period or the second half or the whatever mm-hmm. means there's some approaches out there that have extraordinary results that the average person is not aware of nor has access to, correct?
Yeah, I guess so.
And I would say at the heart of some of that is to do things in a counterintuitive way, putting pressure mm-hmm. on something where someone says, oh, prop it up and keep the pressure off, right? Mm-hmm. Which takes me to one of the things that I was most excited to talk to you about, which is just this idea of stress and resistance being a source of growth. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you all remember this or not, but during some of our first times working out together, I feel foolish even admitting this publicly. To make it to my 40s and to not know this feels dumb. But you're just like, hey man, you're doing way too much cardio and not enough recovery. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, you're telling me I'm on the Peloton bike pedaling too hard? And you're like, yeah, bring the zone down a little. Like, and none of this made sense to me. And to make a really long story short, over the course of weeks, what I ended up learning about was the role of the recovery process. And I'm like, well, what is the role of the recovery process? They're like, well, all of this is stressing your body out. We want the right amount of stress and then the right amount of time giving your body a chance to rest and recover, because that's repairing all the damage that we're doing through the stress. And mm-hmm. it was one of the first times, maybe I was just finally old enough to be able to see the perspective, because you're certainly not the first person who tried to explain it to me. But I realized gosh, this isn't just true in the gym. This is true of all of life. All of our growth, whether it's in our physical muscles and our body, our physical performance, or in our mindset, in our parenting, in our personal relationships, in our friendships, all of it comes down to resistance training.
Mm-hmm. I like that, actually. Yeah.
Some people listening in will understand this. A lot of people are probably going to be like me, and they're just like, I've actually never taken the time to fully understand it. Why is resistance so powerful, and why does it make us stronger? Why does a bodybuilder develop huge muscles?
You're applying a certain level of stress, which is, you know, external load as far as weight on the body. You're forcing the body to lift that up to a point of failure or, you know, fatigue. What the body has to do, you know, during those sets or however, how much volume you're applying to that, assuming you're going to a point of failure, you know, or close to it, I should say, the body then has to, after it breaks down the muscle tissue, you know, you got to rest, eat enough protein to build up the amino acids to regrow the muscle, because now the body's, it wants to adapt to that environment that you just put it in.
So can I get stronger without stressing out my muscles?
I'm going to just say no. I could probably think of like certain things, but.
And yet, how often is stress something that we view as the thing to be avoided?
Often. I think people see stress as like a bad word, mm-hmm. right? But stress is great. Just like you said, you know, it forces us to grow a certain amount, like a healthy amount of stress, right? Correct. It's like filling up a bucket. You don't want to overfill the bucket either.
Which then takes us to the recovery part of the conversation that was so enlightening for me. So the stress plays a role in me getting stronger. I have to stress my muscles out in order for them to grow. Why do I need to rest in order for my muscles to get stronger?
I mean, you keep applying stress, you're going to overfill that bucket that I was talking about, right? Which then you're at risk for injury. It's like a nice little cyclical event happening. If you go too far in one direction, that's too much. If you don't go far enough, that's not enough. You're not challenging the body to adapt to the new environment that you're placing on it.
Yeah. So good. Okay. So this is where we get back to life school and living a wild level life. I think there's a lot of people out there, and this was me for so long, because of what you're talking about. It's like stress is viewed as such a bad word. It's mm-hmm. just like, how do you live a stress-free life? How do you eliminate the stress from your life? No stress, no stress. That seems to be everyone's goal. And yet everyone is stressed out seemingly, right? And yet, meanwhile, we also have no recovery time or very poor recovery time. We don't have rest. We don't have margin. We don't have peace built into our lives or our schedules. It's just go, 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 go. And so maybe the conversation is less about whether stress is bad and more about optimal stress, the right kinds of stress.
How to manage it, maybe.
Yeah. And not just managing it, but I think there's a lot of people listening to this who fall into the camp of, they're like, I'm not stressed at all. They might be worried about something. They might be experiencing mm-hmm. some anxiety, and that might feel like they're kind of stressed out. But the source of stress is the feelings of anxiety and not the activity that they're participating in. And I'm not just talking about physical activity in a workout. I know when it comes to even the work that we're doing in the world, the business that I'm trying to grow, the meaningful work that you're doing in the world and the business that you're trying to grow, a lot of that growth is happening outside of our comfort zones. It mm-hmm. happens during the chapters in our story where we're taking on a little bit of extra stress. You're now working with a lot of other trainers in your gym that you own. That's extra stress because you're the guy at the mm-hmm. end of the day who's got to pay all the bills, right? They can just walk out and be like, oh, it didn't work out. You're like, bank's going to call me and take everything I own if I don't keep this place out of the red, right?
Keep the lights on, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you are choosing to take on stress during seasons of growth. And I just think we view this the wrong way. And so it makes me wonder, what are some ways that we can intentionally stress ourselves out for the sake of growth in whatever area of life we want to experience it in? And so mm-hmm. I don't expect you to have to like have all, I don't want to put you on the spot and be like, tell us all the answers about the school of life, Curtis. What yeah, I want to yeah. do is learn from your expertise as a trainer, as a strength and conditioning coach, so that we can leverage everything we can about the science of how we get stronger and condition our bodies to perform better as a metaphor for how we do that in our personal lives as well. So let's talk about some of the athletes that you train. We don't have to name names. That's not the point. What do you see them doing consistently that enables them to perform at the top level that correlates with the work you do in the gym every single day?
I mean, are we talking in season or off season or like just
general? That is even interesting.
Yeah. Like it's tough because, I mean, as you know, I train primarily basketball players. They have a really, really demanding season. So I don't know if that's like the best example because, you know, obviously, let's just say we're in season, right? They have 3 to 4 games a week. The level of stress, or let's just say like my training, strength and conditioning, that you can apply to them during that period is way less than what I can do off season, where they don't have games, they're not traveling, they're not sleeping in hotels, their sleep is, you know, a little bit more regulated. So when you're programming, and that's why, you know, it's such a beautiful puzzle that you have to build, you have to take all of this into account. Because if you're, like I said, if you're overstressing their system, they're not going to improve off season to get ready for the next season, right? Like maybe I can tip the bucket too far one way. So you really have to like hone in on their lives. Hey, what are you doing? How many times are you practicing on the court? You know, what's your travel look like? Vacations, like they like to party. So are you sleeping? Right. Like there's just so many questions and checklists you have to unpack before you can even think about seeing what you're going to give them. Mm-hmm.
You know? And is the goal of unpacking all that to find the optimal level of stress?
Yeah. And also like the lowest hanging fruits. Yeah. Like the lowest hanging fruits that like I can really just take advantage of, you know, as far as, okay, like let's look back at your last season. How's your conditioning? Like I watched 50 of your games. You barely played over 12 minutes without wheezing out. So like we got some conditioning work to do. Maybe we need to get a little stronger. You know, did you get pushed around? Were there any injuries that I could kind of look at from a biomechanical perspective? Can I clean anything up? There's just a lot. It's a lot, you know, and that's what's fun to me about it. It's everyone, you know, they have a different blueprint. They walk in with a different story. So it's fun to kind of unpack that and kind of like find this, you know, nice template for a training program, you know?
Yeah. Now let's bring that down to the non-athletic people like me.
Yeah.
I don't really have an on season or an off season, so to speak. It's just, there's always three children at home that are
demanding. Yeah. I think you're always in season. Yeah.
So the average, let's just call them the average. I don't think there's an average person. We're all capable of greatness and we all are extraordinary. All of our stories are extraordinary. Even people who say like, oh, my story's not that unique or special. It's like, gosh, you just don't realize how amazing our story is. And I know it can be overstated, but the fact that we are on a spinning rock that's rotating at a crazy high speed around the sun on a regular basis without us flying off of it because of gravity, and the fact that there's the right amount of oxygen balanced with the right amount of everything else so that we can breathe and function. Like, it's miraculous. It's miraculous that we're...
Isn't it fascinating?
So we are extraordinary. We are absolutely extraordinary. Yeah. But to the person who's out there going, gosh, like, major athletes at the top of their field. That's not me. I don't need that type of strength and conditioning. But I still would like to live a wow level life. What do I need to be doing personally that gets me to a point where I'm creating space for more possibility in my life?
The first thing I would always make sure is that like nothing feels forced. I don't want them to think that, oh, I have to strength train, right? Like I have to do this. I care more about, you know, if it's someone like relatively new that just feels like, oh, I need to get some sort of exercise in. Okay, like, what do you like to do? I want you to enjoy that thing first. And then maybe, you know, you get that movement in. Maybe you consider a little bit of strength training and like maybe you can see the benefits of how strength training can help doing that activity in the first place through, you know, getting stronger at it, preventing any injuries. And that's when, you know, I think we can really mold something else. But it all depends on, you know, schedule wise. A guy like yourself, like you're a busy guy, you know, I don't want to make you ever feel like you're forcing yourself to work out. Cause then you can't stick to it anyways, cause you don't enjoy it. I think setting goals is important too, because if you have like a goal, you're more than likely to stick to something for a longer period of time, a goal that you of course want to do.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. Cause a lot of people hear goals and they think like, oh, the goal of 18% body fat and being able to see.
Yeah. Like, what does that mean? Right. Like,
yeah. But for you, it's like, let's pick something that you want to do. And I was like, well, I'm backpacking Yosemite again. I want to climb Half Dome this summer.
Yeah, that was the most motivated that I've ever seen you, right?
Yeah.
So I encourage you to set more of those trips for me. But
Yeah. But what is it about the goal? Like when you see clients with a goal like that versus working with a client without goals, what's the difference in how they show up?
It just means more to them. It gives them something to care more about. It makes things more real, right? Like they have something that they can shoot for rather than, oh, I want to bench press 200 pounds. Like that's cool and all, but like why? You know what I mean? Like it just doesn't mean much. Like I said, it's a little bit too surface level. So you got to dig a little bit deeper than that, you know? And like you use the example of, I want to be able to play with my kids and not feel gassed or tired, or, you know, I want to crawl around on the floor and not hurt myself. And that's a little bit more important. You know, those are things that I could work with for sure.
Yeah. These days, I want to be able to get out of bed without hurting myself.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen you in a little while either.
I'm being called out publicly.
Yeah. I had to bring that in sometime. I was just waiting for that moment. Your wife's doing great, though, by the way.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks for throwing me under the bus next to her. Maybe we'll absolutely have comments on that in the next episode for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so have a goal. That was the second thing that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. With something else to anyone listening in who's just like, man, I want to live a wild level life. I've never stopped to pause. And because this, we've gotten a long way into this episode before coming back to this idea. But there's people who are going like, I don't understand. You're talking to a strength and conditioning coach on a wow. I thought this podcast was all about wonder and curiosity and magic. And, you know, we'll make sure no one leaves confused about what the role is. But I would love to hear it from your perspective. What does all this stuff that we're talking about right now have to do with us living a life that is awake to possibility?
Man, this is some deep questions here. I think it just draws me back to your point about a healthy level of stress is required for a healthy level of growth in small doses. And what I do is stress my clients' bodies out in a healthy way, where as long as they're doing everything right outside of our sessions, they get the benefits of them, right? And then you can apply that to everything in life. You know, kind of like my arm was a stressful situation, but I grew from that and I built what I did with that initial motivation in mind. Same thing with all my other injuries. I saw that as an opportunity for growth rather than like a reason to shut down. And, you know, it's built what it has so far. And to your point, like I'm always chasing more and more and more. So I think I thrive in a little bit of chaos versus like stagnation. So I don't know how to explain that to someone that I don't know, you know, like what does that even mean? But
I think it's good. I think when you're saying I thrive in a little bit of chaos, it's probably true for all of us. It's just what you mean by chaos is probably a little bit of stress. We all need a little bit of stress. And that's what I hope folks hear and take away from this conversation is, gosh, if I want to lean in, if I want to experience a more extraordinary life, I have to take a more holistic approach to how I'm going to do that. And so one, I would at least consider your level of physical fitness. It absolutely has to do with, if anything, it's just a really great case study, gives us an opportunity to just work on something like our mindset. A gym makes for an incredible life school. The best personal trainers are probably also life coaches.
Yeah. I never really realized that, but talk to a lot of people every day.
Yeah. I know. You probably feel like a therapist some days.
Well, I have to remind some people that like I train from the neck down. Nothing.
I don't know if that's true, dude. I don't know if that's true. And maybe that's your, like the professional side of you that's saying, like my professional expertise is from the neck down. Mm-hmm. But I think to our point, like what we were just saying is, you know, you find out what you're really capable of oftentimes in a gym.
Yeah.
You hit some of your rock bottoms in a gym. You get to fight some of those demons in the gym, those limiting beliefs that get in your head. It's the time where you come in contact with wanting to quit over and over and over again. Sometimes that stuff shows up most often in a gym during a workout. So I just think it should be a part of all of our journeys towards living what I would consider to be a wild level life. And my hope from this interview wasn't necessarily to give someone like the 7-step process to how to get in shape. That's not what it's about. Mm-hmm. It's about pausing and asking, am I committed to growth? Is more possible than I realize? Or am I assuming that whatever condition I am in, if I'm unhappy with it, that that's just the way it has to be because someone else told me it was going to be that way. And you're a living, breathing example of someone who can defy, has defied the odds. But the odds, I think, are often, I say again, odds with quotation marks around them. The odds are, I don't even know if they're the real odds. I think they're just the odds statistically based on the fact that most people settle for the script that's been handed to them. Mm-hmm. And you tore up that script that was handed to you by a doctor because a teacher and some students and a therapist gave you a different one. I think that's awesome and beautiful.
You have such a unique way of looking at things. It's amazing.
Well, so do you. So do you. And that was the hope, is to draw from the metaphor of personal strength and conditioning and fitness to have a conversation around stress and recovery and what it looks like to be open and curious to a different story than the ones that were handed.
So I love that.
It's been amazing. You're a special human being, and that's not me like blowing smoke. Your approach to this is incredibly unique. And the results that you help your clients get speak for themselves.
Appreciate that.
And your contrarian approach is one that I value, that I hope that you continue to keep up. You're an inspiration to me and to so many others, not just in what you've accomplished and the fact that your arm works and that you can jump as high as you can on a bionic ankle.
Hey, well, our kitchen cabinets in our house are a little too high, so there's only one way to get up there, man.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I know we can't make Curtis jump here on the podcast, but go check out his Instagram. Maybe that's a good place to end. Tell everyone your Instagram handle so they can at least go watch some videos of you jumping in what looks like superhuman heights.
It's just my name, Curtis Rigg, CURTISRIGG. And the whole jumping thing, I think I've told you, since I train all of these basketball players, I'm only 5'8" for the people that have never seen me in person. So when I'm training 6'10" basketball players, they they wonder why they should listen to me because I'm just this short dude, you know? So I bet them that I could dunk a basketball, and it took me about 6 months. And I don't know if it fully counts, but I'll take it. You know what I mean? It's on my Instagram. I'll let them decide. But I don't have, my hands aren't big enough to hold the ball.
But I mean, it's unbelievable how high you can jump. If you go into Curtis's gym, which is, tell everyone the name of your gym here in Nashville.
It's Innate Performance.
Innate Performance. So if you ever walk into Innate Performance in Nashville, you will see these chalky fingerprints on the beams up on the roof. You're just like, oh, is some dude up there painting something and had some white paint? And like while he was up on the ladder, and you're like, no, bro, there was never a ladder. That was me leaping off the floor.
Who needs a ladder? Yeah.
Yeah. So you are practicing what you preach, and you're an incredible example.
I'm just trying to, you know, explore my true potential. And that's kind of what I preached to all my clients is, you know, explore what you're truly capable of. And then I guess you can relate that to life in general, right?
Yeah. I think that's an incredible place to end. If you're listening in, if you're not exploring what you're truly capable of, you don't want to get to a season later in life and look back with regret asking what if.
Yeah.
You're going to get to the question of what if anyway. You're going to be curious and you're going to wonder what if you would have taken the shot? What if you would have made the investment? What if you would have showed up at the gym? What if you would have asked her out? What if you would have, there's a million examples of that, right? What if? Let's get to that what if now and follow through on it. And hopefully this conversation with Curtis has been an inspiration to you to follow through on that, that more is possible than you realize. It doesn't matter what someone else has told you is or isn't going to happen. More is possible than you realize, and there's another story that you're capable of living. But it's going to take some work. The journey will probably include some stress and some resistance, but that's also how we grow and overcome challenges and find out what we're truly capable of. Dude, this has been awesome. Thanks for letting me put you on the spot. I know this is not,
thank you for having me, man.
Public figures out doing the press circuit.
You're just a way better speaker than I am. that was a mic drop ending right there. I don't even need to say anything else anymore.
I'm grateful that you're willing to show up and have a conversation with me and step outside of your own comfort zone by getting on a camera in front of a microphone. You're awesome.
Oh, yeah. This has been fun. Let's do it again sometime.
Sounds good. We will. All right. I told you he was a good guy, right? You can just tell by listening to him, so much humility and so many times to try to put him on the hot seat and be like, Curtis, man, teach us how this works. Tell us how awesome you are. And he's just like, I'm not awesome. I'm just a guy. And yet, not just a guy who's overcome so much adversity. What an incredible story. And the fact that he took so much pain and turned it into purpose-driven work. So the work that he's doing today as a strength and conditioning coach, it's just incredibly inspiring to me. And his contrarian approach to how he works with stress and the human body, I just love him. I've worked out with a lot of trainers over the years, but I've never worked out with someone who approaches personal fitness and overall strength and conditioning quite like he does. So shout out again to Curtis from Innate Performance for being willing to sit down for that episode. That's something that he doesn't do a lot of. He doesn't like to consider himself an internet influencer. And so to come on a podcast like this for him is a big step. And so I'm super grateful that he was willing to do so. If you enjoyed that episode, show him some love. Go find him online, Innate Performance, Curtis Rigg, R-I-G-G. You can find him pretty quickly on Instagram. Just give him a little virtual high five, being like, hey man, leave a comment on one of his recent posts. Send him a DM. Hey, heard you on the Wild Level Life podcast. That's really cool. What an amazing story. Go send him a word of encouragement because I want that story to reach as many people as possible because it can stir your sense of wonder. It can give you permission to believe in some of the stuff that you're pursuing and give you the ability to push through some of the stress and adversity that you're being challenged by right now and in the future. And speaking of that stress and adversity, we've been through it a lot in our lives lately in my family. And so next week in our Afterglow episode, we're going to take this theme and continue to unpack it. I'm going to be joined by Kate, my wife and co-host. We're going to sit down and talk about not just some of the things that Curtis has taught us as an extended portion of this conversation, but also how we have learned to navigate some of that stress in our own lives and perhaps how you can do the same. And hopefully we can reframe some of your mindset on that. All right, that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have not done so yet, please leave a rating or a review if you are enjoying this podcast. We would greatly appreciate that. You will notice there have not been lots of time of pitching you stuff and trying to sell you stuff. And it's because, frankly, we don't really have anything to sell you right here on the Wild Level podcast. This is a labor of love. We're doing this because these are conversations that we just really wanted to have and we think they matter. And we felt like this was a unique framing of some of the conversations that we wanted to have. And so we felt like this podcast and its unique format might be of service to you. And so if you agree and you're like, yeah, I'm enjoying it, it doesn't take much time at all and cost you absolutely $0 to just click that little 5 stars on the platform that you listen on and leave us a positive rating. Or even better yet, take an extra 30, 60 seconds and just type some kind words and leave a positive review. And that's going to help other people find this podcast. At this time of recording, The Wow Well Level Life, just a few episodes in, is already in the top 10% of podcasts globally. Top 10% of all podcasts worldwide. We are just getting started. And it is thanks to people like you spreading the word, telling their friends, and leaving those rating and reviews that have made that possible. So I can't wait to bring you another conversation with Kate next week. I'm pumped about it. The Afterglow episodes have been amazing and are quickly already becoming one of my favorite parts of producing this podcast. All right. Thank you so much for listening to the Wild Level Life podcast. We will talk to you next week as we continue to pursue Wild Level Lives together.